The Secret's Out with Anita Farelli and host Alan Coote.
Anita, the book The Big Butt is superb. I've been enjoying this series of podcasts that we've been going through. We've been going through the book, but we've also been going through the themes in the book. And one of those themes is where the main character, can I suggest that they are a massive overthinker? And Jack, the archer, says, you are an OT, an overthinker.
Yeah. How many of us are, though, Alan? How many of us overthink? And when you're overthinking, you're going into the future. It's almost a form of anxiety in a way, which when you think of it, is quite a low vibration. So why would you want to stay down in a low vibration for any length of time? And it's almost a case of micromanaging. We want to micromanage a situation to make sure that it's going to turn out the way we want it to turn out and that we've got some power and control over this. Well, we have power and control over our thoughts, but the way we think a situation should pan out might not actually be the best way for us, for it to be that way. There might be a better way that we haven't even thought of. And I know when I was teaching leadership, I was teaching a set course and I would be talking to the students in the room and I would be giving them my perception of it. And then one day I was talking about trust and I was explaining the elements of trust to someone. And then it was firefighters that I was teaching and one of them put their hand up, which was very good, and actually said to me, but Anita, what do you do when the trust is broken? So I thought I was delivering this really good session. And then I suddenly realized I didn't have all the answers because I hadn't given this student the answer that they were looking for. So I went away and researched it and found out that there's actually six steps to when you've lost trust, to recreating trust in a person or a situation. So we don't always know the best thing for us. So therefore, we can't micromanage the situation. And I kind of think that's what overthinking is. And every time you overthink something, you're taking your focus away for the archer and you're airbagging. You're creating an airbag situation again where the arrow of what you want is coming towards you. It's just going to bounce off and go somewhere else. I think it comes down to trusting your instincts more. And I think trust is a key issue in overthinking. If you trust your instincts more, trust the thought you've had and the outcome that you desire is going to come to you, you'll just be much more chilled about letting things evolve and happen.
So there's a thing about overthinking, which is sort of getting your mind in a muddle or clarifying it. So in a way, but that leads me to the question about how exact your thought should be, because the more exact your thoughts are going to be, surely the better the outcome.
Yes and no. Because the more exact your thought can be, the easier it is for your archer to deliver that to you. But you can't be so controlled about the outcome. I can give you an example of not being able to micromanage something or not knowing what the outcome is going to be. Personally, many years ago, I received a check in the post just before Christmas. Now, I was a single parent with two young children, and I received a check in the post for £800 2 weeks before Christmas. It was a Christmas miracle. It really was. Now, I did not know, but about 3 months earlier, my mother had seen an advert from a firm of solicitors in a newspaper as asking if anyone knew this person and if they had a claim on the estate. Well, my mother had recognised the name, thought she may have been related to them, and it turned out that she was. As a result, the estate was divided between my mother and my siblings. She'd kept it as a complete surprise. So there's an affirmation that I do, which is that money comes from known and unknown sources on a regular basis that I get to keep, and which is to the mutual benefit of all. And that's the affirmation I do around money, but we could talk about that more later on. But I think you have to be clear. You can't flip-flop between ideas, because then you become a moving target for your archer. But don't be so invested in the outcome. It's if you set your sights on a particular person to be your partner, you don't know whether that actually really is the best person for you. And it could be that it's easier to ask for the qualities you want in an individual rather than a particular person by name, because that might be better for you in the long run.
Yeah, as you were saying, if anyone's confused about the archer, it's explained in a previous podcast. Go listen to that, or better still, go and read the book, because it'll be really... You don't have to go very far in the book to have the explanation of the archer, which is absolutely great. So the archer Jack in the book talks about pies, of all things.
Yes.
It's very humorous. So tell me why he mentions that and why pies.
This comes down to being sort of like clear about your goal in coaching. So if anyone's ever been coached, or if anyone's ever had a coaching session, there's a coaching acronym called GROW, and the G stands for goal. So you need to know what your goal is before you actually even go to it. And so Jack uses the analogy of pies. The main character likes making pies, baking pies, and people seem to enjoy them. But when you're making a pie, you make the pastry with a little bit of salt if it's going to be a savory pie, and a little bit of sugar if it's going to be a sweet pie. If you make your pastry with salt and then change your mind and you want to make it into a sweet pie, you have to go back and remake your pastry. So by being clear about what the goal is, but then not being heavily invested in the outcome, just knowing that you want something amazing, that you want a pie, it stops you. It's almost like a game of snakes and ladders. Instead of, you don't want to be going up the ladder and then coming back down the snake. You want to be always having forward progress and moving forward. So by being clear about what you want, it helps your archer and it helps you.
That analogy of snakes and ladders is, I think, one that people will recognise throughout their lives. Lots of people have snakes and ladders. So how does the fact that people do overthink things affect them? What fuels that overthinking that people have?
It's a limiting belief. Quite often, overthinking is a limiting belief that people have. And a limiting belief can come from negative self-talk. When you listen to yourself talking, are these words that you will actually use? Not. Using not negates something, but we're still focused on it. So if somebody said, I'm not attractive, it's a negative, but they're still focused on being attractive. Don't negate something, but we're still focused on it. I don't want to lose my job. You're still focused on losing your job. So it's a negative, it's a low energy. But as we've mentioned throughout the book, it's an objection to something that we said prior to it. Can't, negative. Do we really want it? There's a great quote by Henry Ford, the car manufacturer, and it's something similar to whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Yeah.
So maybe is uncertain. And if you're a maybe, you're making it really hard for your archer to hit the target because you're flip-flopping. You know, maybe I do want this, maybe I don't want this, I don't know. And wish, how often do you use the word wish? I wish I could win the lottery. A wish is always in the future. So you need to come back to the present and talk about how life would be now. The fact that I'm excited to have a new job, I'm excited about having more money in my bank account. It's just a much nicer energy. So yes, stop that self-talk, that negative self-talk.
Okay, so you said stop it, right? I'm thinking that in sometime later today, that I need something practical that's going to help me think about those negative self-talk things and overthinking stuff specifically. What practical steps can people take to stop them overthinking?
What I would say as the author of a book about an archer is trust your archer. Trust is a massive thing with overthinking, is trust that your archer always has your best interests at heart and they are going to bring you something amazing. So you can relax. The hard work is done. You've had the thought. Your archer is going to give it to you. Just relax and enjoy the bounty. That's one of the key things I would say. Procrastination is a key thing for overthinkers. They want to make sure they have everything. They know all the facts. They have everything 100% before they do anything. Stop procrastinating. Just do it. I mean, I know that's a famous quote, but it kind of rings true to a certain extent. And the other thing is to stay present, because if you're overthinking, you're thinking potentially about everything that could go wrong, or everything you might need to adjust, or everything you might need to change. How often does an overthinker overthink all the positive, wonderful things that are going to happen?
Yeah, you make a very good point there. Anita, once again, out of time on this episode. We've got a few more to go, I'm pretty sure. I'm really excited about those. But the book itself is available on all the usual places, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. The book's on Amazon, Apple Books, and Barnes & Noble Nook. There's more resources on the website, the LOA Hub for People. And I would just like people to talk about this more. In the book, the archer gets recalled. There's more about that in the story. And when they're talking about it, the archer refers to the main character as a muse, somebody who starts the conversations and just get people thinking in a different way. And I hope that's what it does.
The Big But is a brilliant book. Everyone, I think, should absolutely read it. Anita, thank you so much.
Thank you.